Hi, you're listening to Migrant Matters Radio, based in Guelph, Ontario. On Tuesday, April 29th, the Guelph-based migrant worker advocacy group, going by the name of Fuerza Puerza, held their fifth annual May Day potluck dinner at Sheldale Center in Guelph. This year's focus was on the heightened climate of immigration, detention, and deportation of racialized individuals throughout Turtle Island. Some background on May Day is that it's an annual event celebrated on May 1st, which is today. It's a day devoted to workers' rights and the honoring of those participating in the struggles of working class people throughout the world and history. May Day is also known as International Workers' Day and is celebrated around the world in some countries as an official holiday. May Day first became an official holiday in the 1880s in the United States with the fight for an 8-hour workday. Fuerza Puerza began organizing May Day potluck dinners in Guelph in 2009 to build momentum on the rallies happening in Toronto on May 1st, and while bringing in speakers from various places throughout Ontario, Turtle Island, to Guelph to talk about the labor rights of immigrants, migrants, including non-status workers on Turtle Island. Speakers for this past Tuesday's potluck dinner, May Day dinner, included Jose Figueroa, a Canadian Salvadorian currently fighting a deportation order in Langley, BC, and Jose was speaking at the dinner via Skype, so we have a recording of that. That's the only speaker that we were able to record at the dinner, and we also were able to record the brilliant, brave spoken word performance by Janice Lee. And so here is the recordings from the fifth annual May Day potluck dinner in Guelph, hosted by members of Fuerza Puerza. And I think Eduardo and Mina are the only ones that end up in this recording. Okay, so here are the recordings.
So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the land base that we're on. We're at Onawandera on neutral territory, and I think it's really important to commemorate the land base that we're on and not let it end there too, to also support Indigenous movements that are going on in our area and, you know, around Turtle Island. I want to give a little history, a brief history, so I don't rant, just what May Day is about, because I think this is a really beautiful time and it's very rooted in history. So May Day is actually International Workers' Day. And some folks may know, some folks might not know, it's actually, the history of May Day is actually rooted in an anarchist uprising. I think it's important to remember that. This is how it started. So basically people were fighting for an 8-hour workday, and they were joining in socialist union groups, and unfortunately the socialist aspect wasn't working for them. So there was a mass movement towards anarchism, and people really struggled really hard. There was, you know, protests that were hundreds of thousands of people. Like, people were getting really involved, and unfortunately, because of those protests and people rising up, four people were put to death, and three people were hung, and one person committed suicide. But they did get the 8-hour workday, and that did happen. So I think it's important to remember that a lot of the rights that we do have now are because people worked really hard and because people put themselves on the line. And I'm really happy to say that the people who are speaking here today have put themselves on the line and they're struggling really hard, and it's been really difficult, but they've had a lot of successes. And so in the past, the May Day dinners have been on a variety of topics. In some years we brought migrant workers, and I think it's important to commemorate the labor aspect. But I also think it's important, I also think it's important to remember that the struggle has kind of widened up, because it's been a struggle for people just to exist at this point in Turtle Island. It's been a struggle just for people to be here. We can't even get to the work aspect. People are coming here and not even landing on the soil and getting put into immigration detention or being deported. So I thought it was important to expand it further than labor. I mean, the labor struggles are very real, don't get me wrong, they are very real, but we also need to be expanding it to the fact that people can't even stay here. They don't even have time to find a job, or they get discriminated in the workforce. So I think it was really relevant to have these people talking about the heightened climate of deportation and detention, because laws are getting passed every day. Like, just 3 days ago, they put a stoppage to part of the temporary foreign workers program. And some people who don't really understand the program are thinking it's a big celebration that we're stopping the abuse. But really now all those people either have to go underground or can't come back to work. So we have to remember these laws are getting passed all the time, and it's so hard to keep up. Like, every day I'm like, oh my God, you know this happened? Like, it's really hard to keep up. But, you know, there's some amazing and inspiring people, and even though things are really intense, I just want to highlight some of the really awesome things that have happened this year before I pass it on to other members of Fuerza Porsa. So this year, for the very first time, a migrant worker in Kingsville won a lawsuit case against an employer. He stood up and he was like, enough is enough, and he won. That's a huge win. Yeah, that's a huge win. You know, Toronto and Hamilton announced that they were both going to be sanctuary cities, so they're going to try to get public services to give their services without asking status. That's a huge win. You have folks down in Lindsay. There's over 200 people in Lindsay. If you guys look back there, there's three posters. Those are all people who have contacted us, who have all taken part in standing up against the immigration detention system. There's about maybe 30 names, and there's 200 of them in there that have taken part in boycotting detention reviews, they've taken part in hunger strikes, they've taken part in any way they can. So there are people who are really, you know, they're really trying to change things, and some people are getting out, like Martin Cisse, who's going to be speaking tonight, he's out now. So there are some awesome things that are happening amidst all the other crappy things that are happening all the time. So I think I'm going to stop ranting. I'm Mina also. I'm from Fuerza Porsa. We put on this event with a host of, this event could not have been possible with all of the lovely folks. Like Josh, another member, was saying, like, we called half of y'all today to get things and make this happen. So thank you so much, and like a round of applause for everyone who helped put this on. Thank you. I hope y'all enjoyed the food. There's two gender neutral bathrooms, one right there, and there are gendered bathrooms right outside to the left, if that's something that you would prefer. There's snacks happening. I think the order that we're going to do the speaking is that we're going to have Jose Figueroa speaking first. Before that, we're going to have some members of Fuerza Porsa kind of talk about a little bit about Fuerza Porsa, the work that we're working on. And then we're going to have Jose talk. And then following Jose, we're going to have Janice, who's sipping on the coffee right there. Sorry, tea. Do a little bit of a performance, and then talk a little bit about the end immigration detention work and the work that they've been doing, because there's some amazing things going on that people can connect to. And then Martin Cisse is going to come in and talk about his experience. So I guess if we can get Sam and Eduardo up here. Thank you.
We don't have too much to add, I would say, but in terms of the listserv, if people are interested in either being kept up to date on the work that we have going, we're obviously active on Facebook, but also if folks are not using that too, we can you can add the listserv. We're also looking for people who would want to be more actively involved. We have a whole bunch of new work that is kind of on the horizon for Fuerza Porsa, and also our group Growing Community Health, which is a group that we're focusing specifically on health issues. After kind of doing a series of kind of like outreach and speaking to folks here under various statuses, health and kind of wellness and access to community resources and services has been something that has been highlighted as needing to be worked on. So we have a lot of different things. We're looking to organize a health fair for newcomers and migrants in Guelph. And we're collaborating with the Guelph CHC for that. And then in the summer, we're also doing a bunch of health fairs in Simcoe, Ontario, to in Durham region. And we're also going to Niagara to do one as well. And then other stuff as well that we have going. So yeah, and then on the back, there's also tables of information of campaigns, other listservs that folks can sign up to. There's also some information around the campaign for justice for DPEN. So DPEN is also facing, he spoke in Guelph, and he's facing deportation as well. He was born in Canada, but he's fighting the state, and they're trying to deport him. So he's really looking for support, both in terms of organizations or individuals to sign up as his campaign supporters, and he's also looking for financial support for his legal fund. Similarly, as you'll hear from Jose, folks that are kind of like challenging the legal fund situations are getting expensive. So if anybody wants to do that too, there's information on how to do that too. We're gonna start, I think we're gonna get Jose on Skype. Yes, yeah, I think so. We're gonna show, but maybe we'll get Jose on Skype first so that he can see the video. Is Jose on Skype? Yeah, sorry. Jose is in Langley, BC. In Sanctuary, so he's in a church and he's in Sanctuary. And CBSA actually, he has videos that he's posted where CBSA actually patrols the church and intimidates folks that are there, but he's been in Sanctuary at a church there. So Sanctuary, once folks, a lot of times, like if they get their deportation notice, historically there's the ability to take Sanctuary within churches. So this means that historically, CBSA or the police or things are kind of the authorities don't enter churches to kind of detain and process people for detention. So that's some other work that we're also trying to do in Guelph in terms of getting a network of churches to kind of think about Sanctuary and things like that. So Jose was accepted by a church in Langley to take Sanctuary, so he cannot leave the premises of this church, and so his family comes and visits him, and people come and visit him, but he's basically has to stay within that church. And there's been folks that have faced deportation that have stayed up to 2 years in churches trying to kind of fight and have their campaigns kind of reinvigorated and try kind of different legal pathways to kind of fight the state as well, or their deportation, so...
And just to explain, while we're waiting for Jose to get connected and to show the video that talks about his case, CBSA, for people who don't know what CBSA is, it stands for Canadian Border Services Agency. And basically, it's like the border police. They actually don't have any oversight in this country. They have no oversight. Nobody oversees the CBSA. They have a growing budget every year. And they basically are in charge of finding people who are of non-status or managing people who sometimes have status, and they basically take the status away. So they're like the border cops. They really suck. I don't really know what else to say about them. Like, they're... That's their job, is to manage people. And I think the thing is to remember is that a lot of people who are facing deportation actually had status in this country. So both Jose and Martin, who are going to be speaking, they came here with status. They had status, and they had their status taken away. And Canadian Border Services Agency is involved in that process. So basically, if you are not a citizen in this country, so if you came as a migrant worker, if you came as a permanent resident, if you came under a refugee status, but you don't have your citizenship, you can have that stripped away at any point in time under the new laws that were changed last year. So just to give you, y'all, I know not everybody knows what CBSA means, but that's basically what you do, I'm sure, or what they do. I'm sure y'all can find more information on them, but just wanted to give you a background. So in Jose's case, he's in Sanctuary, and in other people's cases who are in Sanctuary, CBSA will sometimes patrol the area to see if people leave the premises. So they're like bullies. They're like big, bad bullies, I would say. But anyways, here's Jose's video.
And the last thing, and then we'll get started. This video was made by students at the University of Guelph that took a class around migration. So they spoke to Jose, and their project was to try to develop something that could be used as part of his campaign to raise awareness. They also prepared an information package. So if anybody would like to write any articles or do radio shows to further support Jose's campaign, this resource package is online as well. And then anybody who's interested could go to Jose's website that we're going to announce soon. And so the resource package has all the information about Jose's story and also gets into the laws, like Mina was touching on, that are being used to specifically target people that are deemed terrorists who have affiliations to these groups back home and stuff like that, right? And so there's really messed up, like, double standards in terms of folks' affiliations and things like that. So we can also give information about that resource package.
Hi, this is Mary with Migrant Matters. So that was both Mina and Eduardo with Fuerza Puerza. And so now is the point where Jose Figueroa will be talking. And I just wanted to intro Jose a bit more to add on to what Mina had said. Jose Figueroa has toured across Canada, I believe, throughout 2011. He's Canadian-born, and he toured with his We Are Jose campaign, which shed light on his deportation order, which was placed on him in May 2010. And so, as Mina had pointed out, because the FMLN, which stands for Frente Farabundo Martí para la Liberación Nacional, because he participated with the FMLN decades ago, and because the Canadian government had chosen to label the FMLN as a terrorist group, that's the grounds on which the Canadian government has placed a deportation order on Jose because of his association with FMLN. Because Jose has been associated in the past with the FMLN, thus the government is also labeling Jose as a terrorist. But it's only been recently that the government has labeled the FMLN terrorist group. So check out wearejose.com to learn more about the We Are Jose campaign and Jose and his family's plight and story. Okay, so here's Jose's talk.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Hi, how are you? Well, thank you very much to everybody there from Fuerza that had invited me to this event. I know this technology thing is always a problem, but I am amazed that right now I can see you all there. And just to start, I want to quote something that it was written by a decision maker from the immigration Minister of Immigration. She decided this on a decision that was made on last year. And in one of her decisions, she quotes, "However, with all technology available for communication, I am satisfied that Mr. Figueroa will be able to keep contact with his family members in Canada and will be able to provide emotional support to them. It will be also open to the family to visit him in his home country." There was a decision that was made by the minister delegation, and I just wanted to point this out that, well, even though there is Skype and telephones, there is no substitute for somebody to be raising a family from far away. Okay, so let me just backtrack a little bit. The video that you were about to watch there was made by some students from the University of Guelph, and it is a summary of what our story in Canada has been. I came in Canada in 1997. I am the proud father of three Canadian-born children, and in 2010, the Immigration Division of the IRB decided that I am inadmissible into Canada. The reasons why they decided that I am inadmissible is that my membership with the FMLN, that is Farabundo Martí National Liberation Front from El Salvador, is or was a terrorist organization. And well, all of this basically what is telling us is that there is a lot of contradictions in the immigration law. First of all, the FMLN the Facundo Martins National Liberation Front was an opposition group that was fighting against a dictatorship in El Salvador. The Canadian government doesn't even have the FMLN in the so-called list of entities in Canada. And they decided that my membership with this organization was grounds for disability. Then the main questions that we have to ask in this situation is, well, does the Minister of Public Safety really have the opinion that the FMLN is a terrorist organization? And to answer that, he basically gave us a response in October 29th last year. He stated to a CBC reporter that the FMLN, neither me, are on the list of entities of Canada. The actual president of the president of El Salvador, the one that is going to be inaugurated next June, has been into Canada several times. And here in Canada, there are more than 150,000 Salvadorians who are Canadian citizens and are members of the FMLN. So if the allegation that they brought against me, they are founded, then that means that thousands of Salvadorians who are members of FMLN are inadmissible to Canada. This is a main contradiction that needs to be solved. And basically, at this point, there is nothing that is indicating that the allegations that they were brought into this situation are founded. But what is happening right now? I am calling you from Walnut Grove Lutheran Church, where I have been in sanctuary since October last year. Next May 4th will be 7 months that I have been restricted. My freedom has been restricted here. CBSA officers are constantly surveilling the premises. And I cannot leave the church without the risk of being arrested and being put into a detention center. In October 2013, last year, basically, I was forced to make the decision to claim sanctuary into this church. CBSA, despite the fact that there is no basis for their allegations, they wanted me out of Canada because we have been raising awareness on the situation that the immigration provisions, the sections that are being applied, they are being applied to people that have nothing to do with terrorism. The section of the immigration law that they are applying is section 34.1 of the RIPA, which basically states that a permanent resident or a foreign national is inadmissible to Canada for security reasons, for being a member of or having been a member of an organization that there are reasonable grounds to believe is or was a terrorist organization. An officer, a CBSA officer, arrived to the opinion that, well, because I had stated that I was a member of the FMLN in 1997, when I came, I was inadmissible to Canada. But then we have to ask this question. I was opened on my statements about my relationship with the FMLN. I was a member of a student organization that supported the FMLN during the time of the Civil War, and they knew about it. In 2004, immigration approved in principle an application based on humanitarian grounds. Never, when they did that application or they approved that application, they stated that there was an issue of inadmissibility. They came with this problem of inadmissibility 13 years after the fact that they knew about my membership. At this point, in this struggle, we are basically facing the situation with that the law is not being applied in an equal manner, and basically I am being targeted by the immigration officials on this situation. You can clearly say that there is a political persecution in Canada. Right now, there is another case, another Salvadorian who has been living in Canada for since 2001. So basically, it's going to 14 years. And he was issued a deportation order as well. His name is Oscar Vigil, who is a journalist in Toronto. And they are applying the same section of the immigration law that finds somebody inadmissible into Canada because of their membership with certain organizations. So when we are looking at all of this problem with the immigration law, we have to be asking ourselves, how do immigrants can react on this problem? And to tell you the truth, in 2010, when I first heard about the issues of inadmissibility, I was basically convinced that it was the end of our life in Canada. My family here, we were certain that we were going to be deported. But eventually, we started to look at all of these contradictions that are in the immigration law and how they are being applied. And the issue is that certain CBSA officers are given so much power to decide, too much, they can decide whether somebody can stay or go in Canada, to a point that their opinions, they have more presence than the opinion of the Minister of Public Safety. So next May 26th, we are going to be having a judicial review of the decision that was made by the minister representative last year. She decided to deny me access to the humanitarian grounds, but at the same time, she's breaking the law. Because at this point, the minister that made that decision last year that put me into the sanctuary right now, she is making a second decision on a humanitarian and compassionate grounds that was approved in principle in 2004. So, May 26th, we're going to be facing this judicial review before the federal court, and they are going to be deciding about that particular decision made by the minister representative. And at this point, I would say that we need to work hard in order to try to gather the people together into supporting the Oscar Jose campaign. That we have launched an application, a petition to the federal court that they will allow me to be attending the judicial review via Skype or video conference. And I think that is a very reasonable request that we are asking. There is a lot that has been said about the case, but I think that in some ways, I would like to just open the floor to some questions. on what I have just said, and I will be gladly responding to those ones. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, as a matter of fact, in order to answer to that, the FMLN is not on the list of entities. It has never been on the list of entities, and it hasn't been on a list of entities, not even in the United Nations a list that they have. Canada has, in 2001, they made this discussion about the list of entities, and there is, in these discussions, there are three mechanisms. The first two mechanisms are very specific, and they dealt with the Al-Qaeda, Taliban issues that were happening after the attacks in New York. But there is a third mechanism by which Canada introduces the list of entities into the legislation. And according to Section 83.05 of the Criminal Code of Canada, the Minister of Public Safety is the minister responsible to include or exclude entities from the list. But then we have to be asking ourselves this question: has the Minister of Public Safety made any recommendations to the Parliament in order to include or exclude the FMLN from the list? The answer to that is no. Last year, I made an application to the Minister of Public Safety, which is based on Section 83.07 of the Criminal Code of Canada, where I am requesting the Minister of Public Safety to give me a certificate stating that I am not a listed entity. Just to tell you a little bit about that section 83.07, it says, an entity claiming no be listed, a listed entity may apply to the minister for a certificate stating that the applicant is not a listed entity. According to the legislation, the minister has 15 days to give a response. I made an application last year, June 3rd, the Minister of Public Safety received my application asking for that certificate. The minister never responded to that application. And despite the fact that we sent several letters asking him or reminding him about the application, he never did. And in the end, he decided not to give us the certificate, arguing that we didn't show what problems persist about comparing my name to the name of the in the list. But at this point, we have made an application to the federal court, asking the federal court to ask the minister to give me that certificate. So the Minister of Public Safety broken the law by not providing that application. And to answer that's your question, the FMLN, they could apply for that certificate as well, because they are entities that are not named on the list. But the problem that we are looking at this is that El Salvador, being a small country, that has a lot of, there are 150,000 Salvadorians living in Canada, more than 2 million Salvadorians living in the United States. The economy of El Salvador is very dependent on the income that is received by Salvadorians living abroad. And at this point, the FMLN has not made any arguments asking the Canadian government why that organization is being categorized as a terrorist, not by the minister, but by some CBSA officers. So I think that there's a way that this can be solved, and this could be it.
Okay, so I think we're going to conclude this section, but we just wanted to say if anybody is interested in continuing to work with Jose and work with Fuerza Puerza. Fuerza Puerza is committing to ongoingly work with Jose leading up to this May date and this decision. So if anybody wants to be in contact with us to plan, you know, actions and things within Guelph leading up to it, please contact us. We're really trying to have a working group of Fuerza Puerza specifically focused on challenging deportations. We know that in Guelph they're happening. People are getting deportation orders. So if anybody's specifically interested in working on Jose's campaign and just generally on work against deportations, feel free to connect with us. And thank you so much, Jose, for speaking. And we really appreciate it. And we'll be in contact too. And we can leave you on Skype too if you want to enjoy the rest of the event. So.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank you very much. I just wanted to point out, and I neglected to say, you know, at this point, it is very important that the community participate in many ways. We have the We Are Jose website, www.wearejose.org. You can visit that. We also have our Facebook page. And it is very important that the community participate, giving opinions and helping others to understand the problems that we are facing with immigration. This is a situation that doesn't affect only Salvadorians that are members or were members of the FMLN. It is a situation that affects people that have belonged or belongs to any other organizations. And they could be found inadmissible at any times because all it takes is that a CBSA officer reaches to an opinion that somebody is inadmissible for these activities or being speaking up for human rights. And basically, this is a situation that affects anybody. And we need to unite the community in order to make some changes in the law. The law is affecting the rights of many families. My family is one of them, and is not the only one that is going to be affected by this. Just the Minister of Immigration, they have introduced new reforms to the immigration law, which actually introduces the same concepts that are used in the immigration law to even strip citizenship to Canadians in any circumstance. So I think that this is something that should be a cause to worry for any Canadian, because things are going worse. So thank you for your support, and please visit our website, and there is a petition to the federal court to grant me the opportunity to be present at the judicial review. Thank you very much, and I see some faces that I knew from before. Thank you.